All right, let's go ahead. It's 9:30. Let's go ahead and get started. First of all, to all the fathers, happy Father's Day. Thank you very much for your example. And let's remember that God is the ultimate father. And also, happy Lord's Day. Okay. So last week we talked about clean and unclean animals. Today we're going to talk about...
I got to go. Can you get me to slide 19? Slide 19.
Yeah, no problem. Perfect. Thank you, Brian. So today we're going to talk about ceremonial uncleanness. So this is basically about man, people, and how they become unclean. So the first thing we need to talk about is, what is the definition of unclean? So it's actually a... let me check here. All right. It's actually a state of being such that one could not do a few things. Number one, they could not worship God and make offerings to God, because they're unclean. And number two, they could not fellowship with other Jews because they're unclean. So essentially, if you can't fellowship with your own man, and you're essentially isolated from the community. So let's see here. So sometimes these were from natural consequences of just living life. In other words, they were unintentional. And then also purification was required. So if you were unclean, you had the opportunity to become clean once again through a purification process to reverse one's state from being unclean to being made clean again. So if something an event happened and you were unclean, again, you couldn't worship God, you couldn't make offerings to God, and you were isolated from your fellow Jews. But you could reverse that state through a purification process. So why is this? I think, again, it comes down to last week when I read Leviticus 19:2, and I'll read it again. God says, "Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Your God am holy.'" So we have a holy God, and he expects his chosen people to likewise be holy. And so that's the motivation, and that's what is separates the Israelites from the rest of the world at this point in time. So just a general question. Was being unclean a sin? And that's what I had too. Perfect. I had not always. Okay? So let's talk about what examples of what unclean means. Did you have a question? Okay. So what we're going to do is I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 12. It's a small chapter of 8 verses. We're going to actually read and study that whole chapter this morning. So, a couple weeks ago, in the introduction, we said that childbirth required some sacrifice. So, let me just read Leviticus 12, 1 through 5. Leviticus 12, 1 through 5. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, when a woman gives birth and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days. As is the days of her menstruation, she shall be unclean. On the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall remain in the blood of her purification for 33 days. She shall not touch any consecrated thing, nor enter the sanctuary until the days of her purification are complete. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean for 2 weeks. as her menstruation, and she shall return in the blood of her purification for 66 days. All right, so you can see here that if a woman bears a male child, they're unclean for 7 days. The baby is to be circumcised on the 8th day. So why the 8th day? Any thoughts? Yeah. Becky? Yeah. So at this day and time, this is what God commanded, and it was nothing new because He commanded it before the old law, through the patriarchs. But yes, vitamin K and prothrombin causes blood coagulation, and it's elevated during this time. And so that's why they do it. I used to make a drug, factor 8, factor 9, for blood clotting for hemophilia. And one of the things that we would add to that drug was vitamin K. So it's very important, very critical for blood coagulation. All right, so again, with a male child, she was unclean for 33 days. Now, if a female child, 33 days for purification. And if the woman had a female child, she was unclean for 2 weeks, but then 66 days for purification. So any thoughts on why the difference between a male and a female? You can think about it, but there's no answer. it's not stated. It's only speculation. Okay? It's because God said it, so you do it. Don't question it. Just do it. Okay? All right, so now, again, childbirth. It's a natural event. And now they be, again, unintentional, just by living life, the woman becomes unclean. So now the woman needs to be purified, to be made clean once again. So how does that happen? So if we go to Leviticus 6 and 7, that's what will tell us. When the days of her purification are completed for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the doorway of the tent of meeting a one-year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. And she shall be cleansed from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, whether a male or a female. Okay, so a couple things have to happen here. It talks about offerings. Now, we haven't got into offerings in this class. We will in a couple weeks. So we're not going to go into the details of the differences, but a burnt offering, as it says, the animal's just totally burned up, and then a sin offering because if there's a sin, then there's an offering. So the burnt offering is followed by a sin offering, and it's given to the priest. So again, what it says here in verse 6 is that a one-year-old lamb, okay, lamb, clean or unclean? Clean, because as we learned last week, it has split hooves and it chews the cud. So a clean. So the rule is, if it's a clean animal to eat, it's a clean animal to sacrifice to God. And then a pigeon and a turtle dove, those are also clean. And we know that because they're not part of the list of unclean fowl that we talked about last week, which were pretty much predatory birds that ate meat. Okay, so then this is an interesting one. What are your thoughts on childbirth, natural, burnt offering, sin offering? Why is there a sin offering for childbirth? The female, the mother did not sin here. Why is that? The blood. Perfect answer. The Bible doesn't say, but perhaps it's simply because the blood is involved. Blood is very important and very critical. It's very serious to God. So she did not sin, but
She has to provide a sin offering. Why? Because God said. We don't have to ask why. We don't have to fully understand, but God said, so we just do it. God is looking out for our best interest. We just need to keep that in mind too. Okay. And the reason she's unclean is in verse 7. And she shall be cleansed from the flow of her blood. Again, it's the blood, the flow of blood that makes her unclean, not the actual childbirth itself. All right, so then look at verse 8. And then this concludes the chapter. We did a chapter in, what, 5 minutes? So, verse 8, Leviticus 12:8. But if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. One for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. All right, so I just wanted to point out that there's always a provision for the poor. And so just like in today's time in the New Covenant, it doesn't matter what your status is in anything. Jesus is for all, no matter what your status is. So, the old law is very specific because we're dealing with animals and sacrifices, that it accommodates the poor. And we'll see this in some more sections this morning. All right, so now that we're equipped with this Leviticus chapter 12, and that's fresh in our memory, I want you to hold your finger there, and then I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. So we read this 2 weeks ago, and I said that when you read this, there's a lot of specifics from the old law. Now that we read chapter 12 of Leviticus, we can fill in all the blanks and all the details. The Bible doesn't have to repeat itself here. It expects us to go back and study it and find out those details. So could I have a volunteer to read Luke 2, 21 through 24. Becky? Thank you, Becky. So now that we read this, equipped with Leviticus chapter 12, circumcised on the 8th day, that is found before his circumcision, and when 8 days had, in verse 21, and when 8 days had passed before his circumcision. Okay, we know from Leviticus chapter 12, verse 3, they're following the old law. And circumcision is not new. It was God had talked to Abraham directly in Genesis 17, 12. So this was God talking to the patriarch before the old law was given about circumcision. Okay, and then it says in verse 22, and when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were completed. Okay, how many days? 33, right? Because male. Jesus is a male, 33 days. So we have that from Leviticus 12:4. And then verse 23, in verse 22, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Verse 23 quotes the old law. And so in Exodus chapter 13, 11 through 16, it talks about firstborn of all beasts given to God, including man. So they're following the old law to a T here. Okay. And then Jesus, look at the sacrifice. Born to a poor family, correct? Because
we're dealing with turtle doves or pigeons as the burn offering and the sin offering, whereas someone who is a little higher status would give a one-year-old lamb as the burn offering and a bird as the sin offering. So Jesus, this shows that Jesus was born into a poor family according to Leviticus 12:8. So this was something interesting I came across. Let's look at, while we're in Luke, turn back a page to Luke 1:59-60. Luke 1:59-60. John the Baptist was also circumcised on the eighth day. Let's just read it real quick. And it happened that on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father, but his mother answered and said, "No, indeed, but he shall be called John." So this was interesting. We almost had Zacharias Jr. the Baptist instead of John the Baptist. It's just kind of interesting. And the mother had the final say of the name. It's just interesting. But they followed the old law. The important thing is they followed the old law. The eighth day, John was circumcised. Okay, so that kind of is a quick summary of uncleanness from childbirth. Yes? The law of the Lord, verse 23. Good point. Yeah. Luke 2, verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Yeah. Is the law of the Lord, yeah. Yeah, good point. Thank you, Harry. Yeah, no, thank you, Harry, for bringing it up. Any other discussion on childbirth and old law? Now, remember, these people didn't have all the texts and ways to communicate that we did, so they had to remember all this stuff. So try to remember all this stuff. Okay? Think about that. And there's a lot more than this, just this. So they had priests, yeah. So they had priests to talk to. They had to read it on an annual basis. The law was supposed to be read to the people on an annual basis. But their form of communication is different than how we would do it today if we had to follow this. During the year, you mean?
Yeah, like it wasn't like one day.
No, I don't think so, because it's so big and so massive, and there's so many people. So, I'd have to study that to see how long. But yeah, I'm sure it was multiple days to months.
You're talking about John's name. Zacharias couldn't talk.
The father, Zacharias? He couldn't talk? Okay. Okay. All right. Lesson learned for me. Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
In verse 23.
Yep.
Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy. Every male, and it comes back. Why is that? And is it because when God brought judgment on Egypt, the firstborn of there, and I read somewhere in the Old Testament that every firstborn is given back to the Lord because of the judgment that God brought upon Egypt in killing their firstborn.
Passover, yeah. Thoughts, any thoughts on what?
Yeah.
Before the Exodus?
The ironic thing of it is like all through the book of Genesis, but really, by saying that, you know, first of all,
yeah, so I have a... Yes. Yeah, so Exodus 13, 11 through 16 kind of describes this right here. Exodus 13... Verses 11 through 16. You shall devote to the, in verse 12, you shall devote to the Lord the first offspring of every womb and the first offspring of every beast that you own that makes, that the males belong to the Lord. And so it kind of goes into some detail there. So I won't read the rest, but I just wanted to give you that scripture. So, okay, so let's move on then to uncleanness from leprosy. And that's found in Leviticus 13 and 14. Chapters 13 and 14. And looking at this, these are very long scriptures, or a lot of verses in these chapters, almost 60 verses each. So they must have had a real problem with leprosy during that day. That's all I can conclude there. Because there was a lot said about it. So the law of leprosy applied to man is in Leviticus 14. So I just want to read verses 1 through 20, talks about it in detail. But I can't go through all of that at this point. So I just want to read the important ones in my mind is Leviticus 14, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, "The one to be cleansed shall then wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and bathe in water and be clean. Now afterward he may enter the camp, but he shall stay outside his tent for 7 days. It will be on the seventh day that he shall shave off all his hair. He shall shave his head and his beard and his eyebrows and even all his hair. He shall then wash his clothes and bathe his body in water to be clean." So this was interesting in that, number one, they're outside the camp, and we'll talk about that momentarily, and they had to cleanse themselves to get into the camp, but not in the tent, and then they had to cleanse themselves again 7 days later just to get in their tent. So very, very interesting, the details here. And then let's look at verse 21 of that same chapter. Another provision for the poor. "But if he is poor and his means are insufficient, then he is to take one male lamb for a guilt offering," and then it goes into the offerings, which I won't discuss today. But again, another provision for the poor. All right, so then let's take a look at Leviticus 13. 45 to 46. Could I have a volunteer read those two verses? 13, 45 to 46. Go ahead.
"As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall..."
Thirteen, 45 to 46. Do you have it? Or okay.
"Cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean all the day. days during which he has the infection, he is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp.
Okay, so notice those last words. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Okay, again, he's unclean because he has leprosy. He can't communicate with his mankind, the other Jews. So he's outside the camp. Outside the camp symbolizes an unclean place. So why would this happen? So possibly to prevent the spread of disease. He's in the camp with everyone else. He's in contact with the Jews. That violates the old law, but also he could spread it. Also represents mourning, that he's got this disease and mourning about it. It also represents separation from God. He's unclean, so he can't worship God. He can't make offerings to God. So think about Hebrews 13:12, and who died outside of the camp at Golgotha. It all comes together. Okay. All right. So next, let's go to for a New Testament example of leprosy. One other thing I just want to point out. It says in verse 45 that Duane read, he shall uncover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. So again, he can't come in contact with the other Jews. Outside the camp, can't come in contact with the other Jews, so he has to yell at them because they're not supposed to be, you know, face to face. So that's why he's yelling unclean. He doesn't want people to contract his disease. So let's take a look at Luke 17 to get a... What's that? Yeah, if you want to think it like that. Yeah. Yeah, good thought. Let's look at Luke 17, verses 12 through 14. Okay, so this is Jesus and the 10 lepers. This is Jesus. As he entered the village, so he's outside the camp, right? As he entered the village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. Okay, just like the old law says, they're far apart. And they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So they're yelling at Jesus from a distance. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. So they were healed. Their leprosy was gone as they were going. Okay, so this is an excellent example of obedience to the old law. Based on they're outside the camp, they're yelling at Jesus, so they're not close together. And again, the entrance to the village, so they're outside the camp, they're at a distance, they're yelling to Jesus. And Jesus told them to go to the priests. Do you think Jesus needed help from the priests for this miracle? No way. Why did he tell them to go to the priests? Yep, because the old law said you have to go to the priest to get the final cleansing. So he wanted them to follow the old law. Okay, so again, he's looking out for their best interest that they follow what God's commands. Okay, so we just talked about man being affected by leprosy. There are two other things that are affected by leprosy. We don't really talk about them much. Any guesses? Houses, yeah, that's right. So what they're talking about is not necessarily leprosy, but more mold and mildew. Okay, so let's go to that one, that's found in Leviticus 14. Leviticus 14, 34 and 35. Could I have a volunteer read verses 34 and 35? Go ahead.
priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes into it to examine the plague, that all that is in the house may not be made unclean, and afterward the priest shall go in to examine the house.
Yep, thank you. So, leprosy of the house. Again, it's really mold and mildew. Okay, the next thing is verse 47 through 49 of this same chapter. Verses 47 through 49. Could I have a reading volunteer there? Becky?
He that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes. He that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was placed there, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. He shall take to cleanse the house two birds, wood and scarlet and...
I did this at home too. These chapters to me look so similar, and they're almost 60 verses. I get them confused. I just did it. It's chapter 13, verses 47 through 49. I'll just read it real quick. Leviticus 13, 47 through 49. Thank you, Becky, for reading that. It kind of talked about cleansing the house, but this is what I wanted to get at. 47, when a garment has a mark of leprosy in it, whether it is a wool garment or a linen garment, whether in wrap or woof of linen or of wool, whether in leather or in any article made of leather, if the mark is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the leather or in the wrap or in the woof or in any article of leather, it is a leprous mark and shall be shown to the priest. Okay, so the three things, man could get leprosy, garments could get leprosy, which is really mold and mildew, and a house, mold and mildew, leprosy. They called it all leprosy. So in each of these passages, what was the common denominator who was called to inspect the situation? The priest. So the priest, you know... This was another facet of what the priest did. Okay. Yep. So let's go over to another New Testament understanding in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 44. Mark 1, 40 through 44. This is Jesus healing the leper. We talked about this 2 weeks ago too. Could I have someone read this one, 40 to 44?
As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. So notice how he says clean instead of healed, because being clean was a big deal, you know, especially if you had leprosy, which didn't go away anytime soon. So that was a status that they all wanted, was to be clean. Also notice that Jesus commanded him to follow the old law. Again, looking out, wanting him to follow God's law and looking out for his best interest, the leper. Also just, we'll come back to this one, but he also, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the leper. We'll keep that one in mind. Okay, next. That's it for leprosy. Just, yes, Dwayne.
I'm just going to mention that it's interesting that even if you look at historical books and things like that, you can't hardly find anything about the people that provided these animals. Like, where do you go to buy a pigeon so sacrifice a dove or a lamb or things like that? You know that they did it.
Yeah.
But almost get the impression they just appeared somehow, but you know there had to be some place where they went at certain times of the year. here.
Yeah.
And that's where they got this stuff. I don't know about any of you people, but I've tried to catch birds in the wild before. So,
yeah, logistics on this are, if you think about it, are mind-boggling. Number one, there's a quantity of people. In a couple weeks, next week, we'll start talking about sacrifices, the quantity of sacrifices. So maybe their grocery stores were live animals instead of packaged meat. So I don't know. I don't know exactly how they did. I think that possibly they are all farmers, too. And there are some laws that we're going to read about stealing animals and what happens there. But you bring up a good point, back to the logistics of how this all works. If you really think hard about it, you know, how would it happen today? How did it happen then? It's mind-boggling. Thank you.
In Matthew 21, 12 and following, when Jesus went into the temple, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the feet of those who sold doves.
So that's one place was in the temple itself, right? So that's one place you could purchase your animals.
But you weren't.
No, I know, but they were doing it.
I know, but they kicked them out, so they didn't.
Yeah. Do it. Yeah. Yeah, true. So, I mean, how long did that last? I don't know, but yeah. But I'm sure they had some type of storefront where they went to that should have not have been in the temple where they went to go make these purchases, or they raised their own.
I would also say some of what Jesus was doing, not necessarily the purchasing of the sacrifice, it was how they were doing it. It was manipulating the marketplace.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Let's talk about some more ways to be unclean. One was from bodily discharges. That's in Leviticus 15. We're not going to go into great detail there, but it talks about male and female, disease and normal things, and all I can say, if they were normal, there were no animal sacrifices, you just needed to bathe in water. If they were abnormal, such as a disease, it required an animal sacrifice. So does the law get personal, the old law? Yeah, look at Leviticus 15, 18, you'll see. Let's move on. Okay, so next would be another way is animals which die a natural death. That's in Leviticus 17, verse 15. And it says in Leviticus 17:15, when any person eats an animal which dies or is torn by beasts, whether it is a native or an alien, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and remain unclean until evening. Then he will become clean. So if you find roadkill, you could eat it, but you were unclean until evening. So it was permissible to eat those type of animals. Okay, and then again, you had to wash your clothes and you had to bathe your body to become purified once again. And then let's also look at Numbers 19:11. The one who touches the corpse of any person shall be unclean for 7 days. So even touching a human body, a corpse, you're unclean. So Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body and wrapped it in linen. So they made the conscious choice that we're going to be unclean here, but we need to do this. And so, again, it's not a sin, you know, to be unclean. Not always a sin. Okay. All right, so then let's go over to Mark, okay, so now we have all the, so those pretty much are the summary of all the ceremonial uncleanness, the major ones. So as we know, Jesus had a hard time with the Pharisees in that they said one thing and would do another and their hearts weren't right. And so, of course, the Pharisees abused the old law. I think Brian in a sermon a few months ago framed it quite well, saying they put up guardrails on the old law so that they never, if they had these guardrails, they would never approach the actual old law, deviating from the old law. This made it become very cumbersome for the people. So let's look at Mark 7, 1 through 9. Okay, so we're not going to have time to read it, unfortunately, but this is basically talking about Jesus and they're following the traditions. And so the Pharisees are telling Jesus that why don't they follow our traditions? And they use the traditions and not God's law. So just keep that very clear, that they're two totally different, distinct things. Verse 9, Jesus says, he was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. All right? So they had so many traditions, it made the old law very cumbersome and very difficult to follow. So they applied the priestly purity laws of hand washing in their own homes. This is what the Pharisees did. washing their hands in their own homes, making their house like a domestic temple. It's an extra layer of religious observance. These added traditions created heavy, complicated burdens, making God's law difficult and unjoyful to follow. The emphasis shifted from the heart intention of love, joy, and mercy to external rule-keeping, legalism. Okay? Not a good place to be. God has approximately 613 commandments. The Pharisees added many more traditions on top of that. All right. And then I have a verse here in Mark 7. We won't read it, but it talks about loopholes. One was about taking care of your parents. This is what it's about, and that if you say Corbin, that it goes, everything belongs to God, then you don't have to take care of your parents. And so this was a loophole that they created that did not follow the spirit of the original law from God. So they were taking advantage of it. They were manipulating it. They were doing, forming it to their own liking. So that's not a good thing. God says, we do. As simple as that. So today, can man's traditions creep into the Lord's church? Everybody should shake their head, yes. So we, the church, must be digging into the God's word continually and reject any outside influence, not according to God's holy word. So we need to be students of the scripture to make sure that what we're being taught is actually from God's word. Okay, so now, to close it, we only have a couple minutes. Let's talk about Jesus. Was Jesus ever unclean? And the reason I ask, we just read in Mark where Jesus touched a leper. The leper is unclean. Also, in Mark 5:38, Jesus heals the 12-year-old girl. And basically, in verse 41, Mark 5:41, taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha, come, which is translated means, little girl, I say to you, get up. So he touched a dead corpse. So was Jesus ever unclean? That's the question. Go ahead.
The leper didn't have leprosy.
That's right. Yep. You nailed it. That's it. So maybe for that split second, you know, but it doesn't matter because it's the way he left them. The way he left them, he was introduced to them in an unclean state, he touched them, and he left them in a clean state. So when they departed, they were both clean. So Jesus
repeatedly reversed uncleanliness instead of contracting it. Uncleanliness didn't go from them to him. He healed them. So he made the lepers clean, the bleeding stopped of the lady, and the dead were restored to life. So rather than impurity spreading to him, purity flowed from him to the others. And so the Gospels present him not as being contaminated by uncleanliness, but he was the source of holiness and cleansing. And so in 1 John 1, Jesus can cleanse us today. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. And that's pretty much, that's a summary of what we talked about. And all of this points to Jesus. All of this points to Jesus because Jesus could heal. Okay. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.